Okay, this coming Erev Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of preparing for Parsha Shlach here in Chutz Laretz. And the Parsha begins with the instructions to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlach Lecha, Hashem, send people for yourself. And Rashi notes that Hashem was not in agreement with the process of sending the Meraglim. But why would Hashem allow Bnei Yisrael to fall into such a trap? Doesn't He want us to be successful in our goal of serving Him? So the late great Tzaddik Rav Ovadia Yosef Zecher Tzaddik Livracha explains that if you follow the timeline, Bnei Yisrael would have only had a short amount of time to learn Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu before moving into and conquering the land of Israel and settling it. Rav Ovadia takes a couple of steps to prove this point. From the moment of Matan Torah, till the Cheda Egel, till the time of Tshuva, till Bnei Yisrael, till Moshe went back up for another 40 days, till they got to the point of building the Mishkan, working on it full time, day and night, till they came into the land of Israel and came to the point of sending the Meraglim. Ultimately, Bnei Yisrael would not have had a lot of time to learn that Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain with. So ultimately, this could have been helpful to the people as they would have achieved their destiny by going into the land, or it could have hurt the people insofar as they would have lacked a certain fortification of their values and beliefs due to the limited contact with the Torah. So sending the Meraglim, especially when it was not the will of Hashem, served as a great test to see if the people really knew what their next step was and if they were ready for it. So Moshe Rabbeinu sends all the different Meraglim and we're given them by name, and then the Torah tells us, Vayikra Moshe, LaHoshea ben Nun Yoshua. Moshe called Hoshea, he said to him, you know what? You shall henceforth be known as Yoshua. And Rashi cites the Gemara that Moshe saw that Yoshua would need extra protection, and so he added the Yud as a reminder, Ko Yoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim, that Hashem should save you from the advice of the Meraglim. And Kalev too went to Davin and Chevron to be saved from the situation. Now Rav Gershon Edelstein Shalita, the Rashi ben Panovich, explains that when the mob is strong, one needs to work extra hard to have the heavenly assistance not to get swept up in the hysteria. And this, unfortunately, is one of those challenges that even in the time Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, they needed to go ahead and be saved. Torah continues and tells us, Bamidbar Azeh Yipluvig Rechem, that Bnei Yisrael, we were told that Bnei Yisrael came back and heard the Meraglim's report, and the Meraglim turned around and said, Vanhi Veinenu Kachagavim Vechein Ayinu Veineim. We were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and that's how we were in theirs. Now why do Bnei Yisrael compare themselves to the grasshoppers? Why don't they use the example of the ants? After all, we're told, Lechel Nimala Atzel, go learn from the ants. So once upon a time, we pointed out that ants are associated with hard work. That very Pasuk in Mishlei, Lechel Nimala Atzel, teaches us that when we work hard, when we roll up our sleeves and work at something, with Hashem's help, we can make anything happen. Unfortunately, the Meraglim were more grasshopper-like. They didn't see their own destiny coming to fruition, and they simply stopped trying. When one believes in himself, no matter how small he or she may be, he or she knows that he or she can accomplish anything with Hashem's help. You just have to believe. Bamidbar Azeh Yipluvig Rechem. So instead, Bnei Yisrael were punished. And they were punished that in the Midbar they were going to die. And why is it that the punishment for the Meraglim was more severe than the punishment for the Avodah Zarah of Cheda Egel? It seems counterintuitive. The sin of Avodah Zarah should have been seen as much worse. So Rav Yoshev Zatzal explained that in Tehillim we read, Vayimasu be'eretz chemda. When it comes to the Meraglim, we're told that they were disgusted by Eretz Chemda, and this is why they were punished. It wasn't the beauty of the land, the Zavas Chalab u'Dvash, that they despised. It was Eretz Chemda. What's the difference, says Rav Yoshev? Chemda, or desire, comes not only from the physical comforts the land provides, it comes from the desire for Kedusha. When the people were not willing to lay their lives down for Kedusha Sa'aretz, but they were willing to lay their lives down for Zavas Chalav U'Dvash, in such a situation, this was a serious, basic, fundamental flaw in themselves, and they did not deserve the land. So suggests Rav Yashiv. After the episode with the Meraglim, we are given the laws of Truma. And the Torah tells us, Trumas Gorin Kein Tarimu Osa. When you separate Truma of the silo, that's the way you should separate Chala as well. And why does the Torah say that it's Hafrashas Truma? It should be like Hafrashas Truma. Right? Havrash Chala, shouldn't that also be a standalone mitzvah? So the Meshech Chachma notes that sometimes the people think about cheating on their Trumos and Maisros, but the fact that doing so involves public awareness, that usually stops them. And the Torah here is telling us the same should be so for Challah. One should separate Challah, even though you can technically hide cheating it from the public. Still, Kitrumas Goren Kain Tarimosa. When you're separating the Challah, you should separate it like the Trumas Goren. Finally, we're told, Velos Asur Acharei Levavchem. We read the Parsha of Tzitzis in this week's Parsha. And we're told that when you see the Tzitzis, Reisa Moso, and you won't follow the evils of your heart. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Beis says, what are the evils of your heart? Zuminus, this refers to heresy. But how come heresy is associated with the heart? Shouldn't it be closer associated with the brain? Something heretical goes on in the mind, not the heart. Zer Bochanan Wasserman Hashemim Kon Damo explains that intellectual amuna is a relatively easy process to achieve, provided, of course, that your heart is open to it. Heresy becomes a challenge when the heart's not open to hearing. And our job in life is not to be open to the challenge. We have to make it our business not to have ourselves held back. We're told, Ani Hashem asher hotzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. I'm Hashem who took you out of the land of Egypt. The Rambam doesn't include the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim as a mitzvah. In other words, he calls it a Doraisa, but he doesn't include it in 6:13. And why is that? Zimori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shalita explained in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is part of the mitzvah of Shema. That mitzvah, says Rav Soloveitchik, is the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, of accepting the yoke of heaven, based on what the Jewish nation experienced at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. In other words, all three parashios of Shema are actually Doraisa. And why we mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in this section of Shema is because it's a fundamental part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. That's the message the Torah wants us to take. That's why the Rambam doesn't count Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim as a standalone element of the 613 mitzvos. We're told, of course, that when Bnei Yisrael in the Haftorah were getting ready to go into the land of Israel, they once again sent Meraglim. And the Meraglim, by Avo Beisi Shazona, Ushma Rachav, they came to the house of a woman who was a Zona. And why did they choose the home of a house of ill repute? And why did Rachav choose to change herself so dramatically to become this virtuous savior of Am Yisrael? So Rabbi Yamin Eisenberger Shlita Neshiurim on Sefer Yehoshua explains that the spies this time were not merely conducting a reconnaissance on the physical conquerability of the land, they were also focused on its spiritual conquerability. The Torah tells us that Velo Sakia Aris Atzchem Kasher Kaas Hagaya Sherlef Nechem, that we need to be different, or the land vomits us out in the same way it did to the others before us. So the two spies, the Meraglim, went to the source of the Tumah. They went to Azona. And as they were able to destroy the Tumah at the source, Rachav's goodness was able to become apparent. And she had a strong desire to join up with the Jewish people. This became a good beginning to a future wherein we would conquer the land spiritually first, and then ultimately physically as well. We are still hoping for that opportunity in our lifetime. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant it speedily in our day. Shabbat Shalom to all.